Okay, today's daf is Samach Aleph. Before we start, I just want to repeat again about the Siyum. I want to say a few things that, as I mentioned, we're planning a very big Siyum to celebrate Women's Talmud Study. It's not just for women who are doing Daf Yomi, and it's really just a way of celebrating women's learning in general and women's learning specifically in Gemara. I want to encourage people who would like to find out information about it or just hear about it or who can pass it on to others to please send me your email address. Send it to dafyomi4women, number 4, dafyomi4women@gmail.com in order that I can start sending out invitations to people and keep people updated on information about it. It's very exciting. It's on January 5th. Put it down in your calendars. Even people living abroad, come. Okay, we're going to start from the bottom. Simanei ha'of lo ne'emru. Okay, after yesterday's light agadato, today we're getting back to dinei kashrut. Specifically, we're going to talk about the birds. So, if you remember, the Mishnah started out and said simanei behema v'chaya ne'emru mina Torah, v'simanei ha'of lo ne'emru. Right. So there aren't. They don't have like mafris parsa, ma'ale gera. All that isn't mentioned by ofot. What are the details? Avacha amru chachamim. According to the Mishnah, chachamim gave a list. Kol of hadores tameh, kol sheyesh lo etzba yeterah, v'zefek v'korkano niklach. I'll repeat them. Right, an of who's dores, that we saw many different interpretations what a dores is. It could be it eats its prey alive. It could be it steps on the food while it picks at some of it. It could be it grabs its food with its
claws.
Yeah, but there was a better word. Forget the word now. Digits, right? With its digits, and there's even more interpretations. There's a part of the problem here. Okay, I'm already addressing the fact that there's many different interpretations. Is that there's and let's just go back. The Torah actually lists. We said 24, but it really only lists 20. But by four of them, it says lemino or leminehu, and they say ah. So from there, we're going to see this in tomorrow. I think it's tomorrow's or in Tapim. It's going to say about each one must have one similar to it. So from they get from there to 24, because there's 20 plus 4 similar to that. There's 24 that are tmeim, and today we're going to talk about how we learn from those to others. In other words, what does it need all 4 simanim or not? The problem nowadays is that, number one, we don't know what all these 24 types of birds actually are, and number two, we don't know what all of these simanim are exactly. There's so many different interpretations about what an of dores is and what... We're going to see. Etzba yeterah, right? It has an extra digit. Does that mean one is longer than all the middle one is longer than all the others? Does it mean it has some sort of digit behind its leg coming out? Higher up, lower down, all different possibilities. Because of that, it also becomes very difficult to determine. The other two are not as complicated. Zefek, which is the crop, and korkavno niklaf is that the inner layer of the gizzard is of a material that peels off very easily. So if it has those simanim, it's tahor. Today we're going to get to, does it need all of those simanim to be tahor? Or as long as it has one of those simanim, is it tahor? Okay, that's going to be the big debate in today's daf. So the Gemara starts off, very bottom of Samach Amud Bet. Simanei ha'of lo ne'emru. So it seems very clear from the Mishnah that we don't have a list of simanei ha'of in the Torah. And it seems pretty clear to us, right? Because the Torah just says this bird and that bird and that bird and that bird can't be eaten. But the Gemara actually suggests below, does it not say the simanei ha'of in the Torah? The Hatanya, doesn't it say in a Braita, Ma nesher miyuchad she'ein lo etzba yitera v'zepet ve'ein korkano niklaf v'dores ve'ochel Tamei, okay, doesn't it list the Nesher as one of the Tmeim? Now, once it lists the Nesher, then what can we assume? Well, let's take what's true about the Nesher. It's basically like telling us what the Simanim are. Okay, so just like a Nesher, what does a Nesher have? It doesn't have an Etzba Yeterah or a Zefek, and its Korkav, no, its gizzard is not Niklath, and its Dores Ochel, it eats by Drisa, again, depending on how you define what it means it eats by Drisa. Tame. So, therefore, what can you infer from here? Av kol kayotsebo tame. Right? Therefore, anything that's just like it would be tame. Then the Braita continues and says, but wait. Torim sheyesh lahen etzba yitera v'zefek v'kor kavno niklaf v'ein dorsim v'ochlin tehorim. Av kol kayotze behen tehorim. Okay, so we have, what they're basically going to say here is, the Braita seems to give us two prototypes from which we can learn what's tameh and what's tahor. So basically, that's another way of saying the Torah gave us the simanim, because the nesher, on the one hand, doesn't have any of those four, and the tehorim has an etz b'yeterah, it has a zepek, its core kavno is niklah, and it's not dores v'ochel, and it's tahor. So what do you learn from here? The four simanim. Now, how do you know the Torah? Okay, we should go back to this. We've mentioned this. How do we know that the Torah is a kosher bird? Remember, the Torah just lists non-kosher birds. So where does the Torah come up? Well, we learned Tzvachim and all that. We know that the Torah comes up in the Korbanot. Torim, Ushnei B'nei Yonah, right? Those are all the things you bring. Ushnei Torim, Ushnei B'nei Yonah. You bring this Korbanot. Since you can bring the Torah as a korban, it's obvious only kosher animals can be brought for a korban. Since the Torah is brought for a korban, we assume it's a kosher bird. So we have, on the one hand, the nesher that doesn't have the four simanim, and we have the Torah that has the four simanim. So what do you learn here? That those are your simanim. So they are basically explained in the Torah. So why do you mean they're only midivrei chachamim? So Amar Abaye, lo ne'emar perusha midivrei Torah, ela midivrei sofrim. What it means is, it's not said explicitly in the Torah, it's only the rabbis give the specific details, right? It never says in the Torah, again, if we compare it to Behemot, by Behemot, it says, Afris Parshas, Shosha Atesh, Shesama Legera, right? It doesn't say that explicitly in the Torah, even though you're right, the prototype is built in the Torah, and it's obvious from the Torah, but it doesn't write all the details of those four items. Come only midivrei sofrim. Okay, Tanei Rabbi Chiya. Now, there's a bit of a problem with the Braita. What's the problem with the Braita we quoted? It says if it has all four, it's tahor, and if it doesn't have all four, it's tamei. And then, what about if it's in between? Right? It doesn't really discuss that. What if it has one, two, three? Right? Those are both the extremes. The one that has all four, the one that doesn't have all four. What if it has one or two or three? Then how do we relate to it? So, now we're going to bring a braita. Tanei Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya brings a braita that goes like this. Of haba b'siman achad tahor. If you have one siman, it's already going to be tahor. How do we know? Okay, now this braita is going to deal with, we're going to go have a very big ping pong between, do we say that if it has one, that's already going to be tahor, or unless it has all four, it's not going to be kasher. Okay, that's going to be the debate here. So we're going to start like this. Of haba b'siman achad tahor. Why? Lefi she'eino dome l'nesher. Right? Because as long as it's not like a nesher, it's going to be tahor. So as long as it, right, the nesher has no simanim of tehorah. So therefore, we're going to say, if it has one siman, it's already going to be okay. Nesher delet leklal, hu delo techo, right? We're going to make this inference. Nesher that has none of them. Oh, by the way, I forgot to say, what is a nesher? Okay, nesher in modern Hebrew we generally say is an eagle. But that's generally not what's assumed. I remember this from high school. Give credit to my high school teacher. Just about one major thing I remember from that class. I'm not really sure why. But Rabbi Haramadi, Zichrono Livracha, was my Tanakh teacher, and he taught us that one of the things he said, and I remember he brought us pictures, about a nesher in the Torah is what we call a griffin vulture. Okay, and he brought us pictures of it. He said, this is what you should remember, and somehow he succeeded that, I remember. So a nesher is not an eagle, but it's a griffin vulture. Okay, that's the assumption of what it is. So now, we say like this. Nesher delet lehu klal hu delo techol. So a nesher, oh, yeah, by the way, there's a debate. I should say, right, he really taught me and he said, that's the truth. There is a bit of a debate. Is it an eagle? Is it a griffin vulture? Part of the problem here is that the Gemara assumes it has none of the four simanim, but even it seems like according to all the interpretations of what dores is and it seems, or it's specifically, I think, is the problem with the etzba, one second, that all of them seem to have an etzba yitera according to all the definitions, and it's a little bit complicated to figure out because, it seems like both vultures and eagles also have a crop, they have some widened area. Some people say maybe it's because it's a little bit different, their crop, than others. It seems like the middle digit in front is longer than all the others, which is one of those. And that's part of the problem here is that on the one hand, the Gemara assumes the Nesher doesn't have any of these four simanim. On the other hand, it sort of is what affects, when the rabbis try to define what are the definitions, they try to use what a Nesher is. But obviously also people didn't know exactly what a Nesher was. So it's all very circular, right? They're all trying to use the information they had to figure things out, but it's not so easy to figure out based on all it's what causes part of the complications, and it doesn't fit 100% perfectly with all the interpretations about that a Nesher really doesn't seem to have all four. So it's a little bit problematic. Okay, so now what are they assuming, though? A Nesher that doesn't have anything, that's what you can't eat, but ha di eat le chad techo. Okay, so it sounds like you can eat it as long as it has one. But then they say, but wait, if you were to learn it, though, from Torin, you would say the exact opposite. This is where I said that last braita left all the room in the in-between. You know, what if it's in between this and that? It only gave the extremes. The leilach mi Torin. So here's the flip side. Why don't we learn it from the bird, the dove? It's Torin were considered turtle doves. Ma Torin di'ika kulu arba'a. Right, a tor is kasher. Why? Oh, well, it has all four. So afachinami adi'ika kulu arba'a. So then we'd say maybe it's only going to be kosher if it has all four simanim. Okay, now we're going to flip back to the other side where we want to say as long as it has one, it's okay. Im ken shar ofot me'im dekata brachman alamali. So then why did the Torah need to specify all the other birds? Now the assumption is that all the 20, again 20, which becomes 24, listed in the Torah, all of them, other than the Nesher, most of them have three simanim, like they don't have three of the simanim. The Orev only has two of the simanim, and the Peres and the Azniyah are only missing one siman. Okay, so it goes like this. The Nesher has none of them. The majority of them, okay, 20, there's actually a debate, is it 19 or 20? Okay, and there's a difference in the Girsa. Our Girsa says 20. We'll see later in today's daf, but I'm just kind of setting up the groundwork. So 20 don't have three of the simanim. One, the Orev, doesn't have two of the simanim, and the Perez and the Azniyah don't have one of the simanim. Okay, and they have all three, but not one. So now, if we learn from the Torin, only if it has all four, then why did it need to list all those other birds, right? It's the whole question is, do those birds set the stage, that 3, 2, 1, or are those birds exceptions to the rule? Are those birds, right, anything else is fine. Just these are problematic, which means that normally, if it would have even one siman tahara, it would be fine. It's just the Torah had specified, unless it's one of these birds. So that's what they're going to say now.
But yeah. It's also, you have to look at the language of the Torah till now, which is where they gave behemoth, and so they have to have both signs. So that's how you might think.
So what you're suggesting, Shari, is a very good suggestion, which is if the Torah said it has to have these simanim, and by the oaf it didn't say that, it sounds like an oaf probably doesn't need that. Now, why did the rabbis start... If the Torah was very specific as this bird, this bird, this bird, this bird, and didn't give klalim, why did the rabbis give klalim? So I think that's just because of the way they were thinking. In other words, the rabbis think in terms of we need definitions. They also already, it was clear, they didn't know all these types of birds already, and certainly in the time of the Rishonim, they really didn't know what a lot of these types of birds were. And because of that, you know, the more you can define things, the better. But you're right, the Torah clearly didn't define, which seems to give a good indication that one or two or three, that it's not the same as the Mafris Parsan, Chosa Chesa, and Male Gera, where it has to have both. It does definitely seem to lead to that direction. So again, we started off saying a Nesher doesn't have any of them, but if it were to have one, it would be kasher. Then we said, well, if you learn from the Torah, though, you would come to the opposite conclusion that unless it has all four, it's not going to be tahor. So they say, if that's the case, then what's the point of having the whole list in the Torah of all the others, right? Im kein sharafot mein katav rachman alamali. Right? What's the point? So now, right, because it wouldn't need to list them, it would be obvious because those all have, you know, don't have... you know, don't have one or don't have two or don't have three. So then they say, why don't you say that? Okay, now we're flipping back again. What's flipping back? We want to go back to, if you don't have all four, it's going to be disqualified. V'nelef minayu. So why don't we dafka learn from all the sharafot? We're going to now, every time we're going to go back to this side, we're going to say, why doesn't that build the prototype for us? Mahatam tlata velo achlinan, avko tlata velo necho. When there's, why don't we use the simanim? Instead of saying the sim, there's two ways to look at it. Either the birds that are listed are all exceptions to the rule, or to say maybe those are the rule. So just like most of those birds don't have three of the simanim, right? Velo achlinan, and we don't eat them. Right, they have three, right, mahatam tlata velo achlinan, avko tlata velo necho, right? Therefore, wouldn't we say, if it just has three, right, we shouldn't eat it. B'kol shekein, trei. Trei v'chad. And all the more so, right, if it doesn't have two or one of them. Right? I'm trying to think of the direction. I'm getting confused. If the three is, it has three kosher simanim and just not one of them, and then all the more so if it has two kosher simanim or, no. If it has three, sorry.
Two or one kosher simanim.
You don't eat it if it has three non-kosher signs, three kosher signs, and all the more so if it had two kosher signs or even one kosher sign, you wouldn't be able to eat it, okay? So then they say, wait a minute though. V'im kein orev dekatav rachman alamali. Now they're going to say, okay, so if you can't eat it if it has three kosher signs, then obviously you can't eat it if it has two kosher signs, right? So therefore, what would be the, if the Torah was using this list as a prototype, once it doesn't have three simanim, you don't need to say if it doesn't have two simanim, right? Because it would be obvious. So the orev, which has two simanim, dekat rachman alamali, what do you need that for then? Hashdadit le tlata lo achlinan, if it has three kosher simanim and you can't eat it, di'it le tre mibaye, right? If it has two, you're going to need to teach that case? Of course not. It would be obvious. Okay, which again, what does that lead us to say? If we reject that argument, where are we left with? As long as there's one siman, it's kasher. So then they say, well, maybe orev is the prototype. You get the gist. Every time they keep bringing a question for something, they say, well, maybe that's the prototype. First they brought the question from the whole long list. They say, well, maybe that's the prototype. Now they say, wait. Le'elaf me orev. Why do we learn it from orev? Mahatam trei lo, av kol trei lo. So why don't we learn from orev and say orev is the prototype? Orev, right, has two, but not doesn't have the other two, right? So therefore, anything that has two simanim, you can't eat, right? Maybe that would be the prototype. So then they say, im kein peres ve'ozniyah dekata rachman alamali. What about the peres and ozniyah? Hash to di'it le trei lo achlinan, di'it le chab mibaya, right? If you can't eat it, if it has two non-kosher simanim, all the more so, right? You can't eat one that has only one non-kosher siman. I'm sorry, oh, I keep
only
getting confused. Only one kosher siman, right? Why am I getting confused? Right, okay. So therefore,
why did,
right, so if it has only one, why would you need to list that? Of course you can't eat that if it only has one. So what do they say? Benigmar, again they're going to say, whoa, so why don't Peres and Oznia be the prototype? Benigmar be Peres Voznia. So therefore we're left with, if we learn from Peres Voznia, what would we say, by the way, what's Peres? Oh, I didn't tell you. Orev is a crow, and Peres and Oznia are, the Peres is either a bearded vulture or a white-tailed eagle. Okay, again, a bit of a debate whether it's like close to a vulture or an eagle. It comes from that family or that one. And an Ozniah is also a type of Ozniah called the Cinereus vulture. So again, why don't we learn from them? So what do they say, right? If we were learned from them, what would we learn? That only if it has one, is it right? If it only has one, it will be Peres and Ozniah don't have, right, there, if it has one simanei kashrut, one second, if according to this, right, you'd have to have all four, okay, in order for it to be kasher, right? That would be what we'd say, that Peres and Ozniah, if we learn from Peres and Ozniah, what would we say? That Lo tichshure b'siman echad. Right. But siman, right. These have one siman, and yet they're not kosher. So therefore, anything else that has one siman is not kosher. It has to have all four. So then they say, if that's the case, then what's going to be obviously not necessary to say? Imkei nesher dekata brachman ali that doesn't have any of them would be unnecessary. Because if the pears and those ni'ah aren't kasher, obviously the nesher is not going to be kasher. And therefore, hashadit lechad lo achlinan, right? Then delayt leklal mibaya, right? If it doesn't have it all, you're going to need to teach it. Ela nesher delayt leklal hu delo techol. So the Gemara concludes now and says, therefore, since it wouldn't be necessary then to say the Nesher case, it must be that the Nesher case is to teach you. You just can't eat the Nesher. In other words, the Nesher rules the prototype that if, since it doesn't have any of the Simanim, you can't eat it. But if it were to have one of the Simanim, you would be able to eat it. And then all the others are just exceptions to the rule. Exceptions to the rule. So now, the Gemara is going to backtrack and say, wait, maybe we could have learned this in a different way. Okay, right now they're saying the whole reason is, the whole point where we can learn, you know, how do we learn the rule? From the fact that it says nesher, that teaches us that as long as, right, it's not like a nesher, it doesn't have any of them, right, as long as there's one siman, it's going to be kasher. So now they say, ve'alatama dekata rachmana nesher. You're saying the whole reason is because the pasuk said nesher, right? The Torah said nesher. Halav hachi. If not, what did we say? Havamina leilach mi peres v'oznia, right? Otherwise, what would we have said? We would have learned from peres and oznia, right? And what conclusion would we have come to? Peres and oznia don't, right? They only have one psul, right? Which would then imply that if it has the other three, they'd be fine. So now, what could you say? But wait, if you want to learn it from Peres and Ozniyah, that comes under a different halachic ruling, right? A different category. Anytime you have two items, okay, let's go back. Generally, what are we trying to use here? What kind of limud? It's called a binyan av. It means we have one type that we can learn from there. It's a prototype. We can learn from there to everything else. That only works when we have one case. One case, we say, can be bonet av. It can teach us about all others. However, once you have two, and there's machloket, is it two or three? But this sugya goes on the two. As soon as you have two things teaching the same thing, the rabbis assume those two and nothing else. Okay? Because if you wouldn't need two, you could have just said one and we would have learned all the others. So why did the Torah say two specifically? To say just this and this and nothing else. So if you wanted to suggest we could have learned it from Peres and Ozniyah, and therefore, right, and since it doesn't, we must learn it all out of Nesher. But Peres and Ozniyah are Shnei Ketuvim Abayim Ke'echad. B'Shnei Ketuvim Abayim Ke'echad Eim Alamdim. Okay, so, right, we can't learn. We don't learn. We wouldn't have been able to learn. That wouldn't have built a prototype for anything. So what do they say? Oh, no, these aren't the classic Shnei Ketuvim. Why not? De'ika b'hai le'ka b'hai. U'de'ika b'hai le'ka b'hai. Okay? The one siman that this one has, right, isn't in the other, okay? In other words, they're each unique in that way, okay? They each have their own unique, and therefore, it could be saying, this one's teaching about that one, and this one's teaching about that one, okay? So therefore, you couldn't have learned it from there. But then they say, wait, michtei esrim va'arba'a ufot tme'im hav. We know that there's 24 birds that are tme'im. I efshar decha de'ika bahana chleke bahane. But if you take the whole list of 24, it's got to be that the ones, if you took that whole list since, right, they have three, right, and some have two, or one has two, and they have one, there's obviously going to be those two that only have one, there's going to be some parallel in all the other cases, right, because they're all different permutations. So it's going to be that in the end, you're going to have two ketuvim that are me'id about that one siman, that this siman, if it doesn't have this siman, it's not kasher. If it doesn't have this siman, it's not kasher. So if you go by all the simanim, you're going to end up with at least two like that. So that would show you then that each two, right, each siman basically shows the bird is not going to be kosher. So that's their suggestion. But they're going to actually reject that, and they're going to say, Gemire, but we have a limud that what? Esrim va'arba'a ufot me'in havu. Va'arba'a simanim Okay, here's our, this is what I told you in the beginning of class today, that what? There's 24 birds that are tmeim. There's 4 simanim, okay? Tlata, hadre bekulu. 3 of those simanim appear in all of those. Esrim mehem, 1 second, atatu hadre bekulu esrim. Right, sorry. There's 3 that can are found in 20 of them. Esrim mehem shlosha shlosha. Okay, 20 of them have 3. Utrei ba'orev, 2 in the orev, v'cha b'peres, v'cha b'ozniya, right? And they each have 1. De'ite baha, leite baha. Okay? And it happens to be that one of the ones in the peres or in the ozniya, okay, they don't really know, Rashi says, okay, Rashi says specifically, I wanted to show you this, right, he says, where is it? Right, tlata hadre bekulu, look at Rashi. Hashlosha chozrim bekulam, klomar. Kulam bein min sheyesh lo shlosha, dahainu esrim minayu, right? So whether you take the 3, right, that are in all 20 of those, ubein orev deyesh lo shnayim, okay, or the orev that has 2, shnayim me'elu shloshahen, v'harevi'i eino ke'echad mikol shlosha simanim ha'menuyim ha'chozrim behem, in other words, the 4th one is only found in either the Paris and Ozniya and not in any of the others. So there is one unique case that has no parallel, which means that we can't call it a case of Shnei Ketuvim Abaim Ke'echad. And Nimsa Shesiman Zeh Lo Ne'emar Ela Pam Echad. Okay? Now it's clear for Brashi, he doesn't know which one. Right? He says it either in the Paris or in the Ozniya. Okay? In other words, we don't know. It seems like he doesn't really know which Siman is the one that's only in one of them. Okay? Which, there's a big problem with Rashi, because in Rashi Samach Bet, it seems to say that the Siman that only appears in one is that it's Eino Dores. And in Rashi, in a different Rashi, in Samach Bet, it seems to be it's the Korkavan Niklaf. And everybody struggles with how to understand this seemingly contradiction in Rashi. On the one hand, it seems like the one Rashi either doesn't know which one it is, or he knows it specifically, not the Eino Dores, or he knows it specifically the Kor Kevan. So there's a big debate about Rashi, what's going on here in Rashi. Everybody tries to answer it. It's not so clear. Some people say that maybe you just have to be Machmir, like maybe Rashi is trying to be Machmir, that maybe that's the one, and maybe that's the one, and maybe that's the one. Either which way, what are we trying to say? That from here we can't say it's a case of Shnei Ketuvim Habeim Kechadim Lamdim, because there's one that stands alone. So now they say, right, Ma'u Detema Leilaf Minei, and since you might have thought that we could learn from that one as a prototype to all, therefore, that right, that basically meaning if you don't have, right, if that you don't need all 4 to in order for it to be kasher, therefore, Kata Rahmana Nesher. Therefore, it specifically had to tell you Nesher to say the Nesher is necessary, right? The Nesher is necessary to teach you all 4, right? If you don't have all 4, it's going to be Tameh. But any other combination, right, as long as you have 1 Siman Tahor, you're okay. So Nesher, Delet Luklal, Hu Delo Techol, right? The Nesher that doesn't have any of them, that one you can't eat. Ha Ika De'it Lechad Echol. Okay, therefore, if it does have 1 of them, you can eat it. So then they're back to Ela Torin de Katav Rahmana. We go back to where we started today. What about the Torin? Right, the whole thing is that the Torah gave us the Nesher, that doesn't have any of them, to say, if as long as you have 1, it's okay. But the Torah also gave us, in the list of Korbanot, that you could bring a Tor, which has all 4 Simanei Tahara, which would seem to indicate you need all 4 Simanei. So if we're already siding with the Nesher, builds our prototype, so what about the Tor? What do you say that comes for? Amar Marukva, Arav Ukva Rachama, Likorban. That's just to tell us for Korban, those are Ksherim and not for others, but not for Kashrut, okay? Which makes sense, because the Torim were mentioned in the list of, right, if you're going to choose one to learn as a prototype, we're obviously going to choose the one that was listed in the list of Kashrut and not the one listed in Korbanot. And then it also makes sense that the Tor, in order to be a kosher bird for the Korban, you need to have all 4 simanim. But in order to eat it, any of the others is fine. Okay.
The question is, why do they have to start with all these simanim? Like, why not just take the Torah literally?
So again, that's what I said. This is very, I view this as typical of what the Gemara tries to do. The Torah, in general, gives, I would say, even talks about laws in a more sipuli-type format, right? They description, and the rabbis want to categorize. The Torah doesn't often categorize. The Torah describes. Now, it's true, you have to wonder why the Torah specifically described when it came to animals and not when it came to birds. However, right, so that's really the question as to why the Torah,
gave
simanim, but not for the birds. But the why the rabbis did it is very obvious, because the rabbis wanted to fill in the blanks, right? It gave simanim here, it gave simanim there. Let's give simanim also for the birds.
Why did they have to do that? They could have just said, here's the list.
No, because people didn't know what all the things were already. In other words, it became, this is what happens. Over time, halacha becomes less clear, less, the mesorot become, you know, what exactly this bird is. If it wasn't a bird anybody ate, right? And Matt, you could see why this. If it wasn't a bird anyone ever ate, then over time, nobody remembers anymore what's that bird. They only remember the birds they ate, but if they didn't, right? And then also, new birds are found. So what do we do with those birds? And that's exactly, right, why the rabbis need to come up with a system so that it tells you how to, and this is the way the halakhic system develops in general over time. There's principles, and then we have to, you know, build more principles that will include more things and get into more detail and description. And that's exactly why we have so much to learn, because they're doing this all over in every single area. Whereas the Torah doesn't, it's not a book of law. This is a book of law. Book of law has not a list of what you can, what you can't, but what's the definition, so that when you come across something new, and that was always the problem, as we discussed the other day, every time something new came up, the whole question was, how do we relate to it? So.